My name is Madison Urban, and I'm a fourth-year pharmacy student at the University of Kansas School of Pharmacy. Today, I have a poster presentation about a guideline and adherence evaluation for the preoperative management of adult patients with type 2 diabetes. Studies have shown that there's a clear association between elevated blood glucose in the pre-op period and adverse clinical outcomes, such as increased hospital length of stay and increased mortality in surgical patients. Many of these patients manage their diabetes at home with insulin such as long-acting, 70-30, or NPH, and they require special management of their insulin in the pre-op period. The purpose of this study was to evaluate both the pre-op assessment clinic, or PAC, and the post-anesthesia care unit, or PACU's, adherence to the established guidelines for the perioperative management of adult patients with type 2 diabetes undergoing a procedure at the University of Kansas Health System. If deemed necessary, the results of this evaluation will guide education to providers and pharmacists and determine if changes to the guidelines need to be made. This study was completed as a retrospective chart review. To be included in the study, patients had to be type 2 diabetic and undergoing a procedure involving sedation or anesthesia at either Main Campus or Indian Creek Campus from January 1 of 2020 to December 31 of 2020. Patients also had to be on long-acting, 70-30, or NPH as part of their home insulin regimen prior to their procedure. Lastly, patients had to be seen in the pre-op assessment clinic prior to their procedure. As you can see, 55% of patients in the study were male, and the average age was 64 years old. The majority of patients were on long-acting insulin, 6% were on NPH, and 4% were on 70-30 mixed. As shown in the methods section, pharmacists in the PAC give patients written instructions during their appointment regarding how much of their home insulin to give themselves the day before and the day of their procedure, based off of KU's established policy. Upon arrival on the day of surgery, their blood sugar is taken, and depending on their glucose reading, they are administered a given amount of insulin, as stated in the third chart of the methods section. 257 patients met inclusion criteria and were evaluated as part of this review. 91.4% of patients were given appropriate written pre-op insulin administration recommendations by a pharmacist in the PAC based on the established KU policy. For the 22 patients that received instructions outside of the established guidelines, 19 were due to calculation errors, and 3 patients were not given instructions regarding their insulin. 17 of the 22 patients who received instructions outside the established guidelines were on long-acting insulin. 4 were on NPH, and 1 was on 70-30. Of those 22 patients, 6 had a blood glucose greater than 180 on arrival the day of surgery. For evaluating the PACU's adherence to the guidelines, 53 of 257 patients arrived on the day of surgery with a blood glucose greater than 180. 7 of those patients received insulin. Of the 7 patients who did receive insulin, 2 were administered a dose of insulin that correlated with the KU policy. For those with a blood glucose greater than 180 on the day of surgery, sugars ranged anywhere from 185 to 388 milligrams per deciliter. In conclusion, pharmacists in the pre-op assessment clinic gave appropriate pre-op insulin instructions for the majority of patients. Most patients were not given insulin prior to their procedure if their blood glucose was greater than 180. When insulin was administered, most patients did not receive a dose that correlated with the established policy. All patients were given an appropriate type of insulin, either rapid-acting or regular, and were given insulin via the appropriate route. The results of this study will be provided to pharmacists in the PAC and the PACU staff for review. If necessary, modifications to the current guidelines at the University of Kansas Health System will be made, and education of those involved will be provided. Some of the aspects that limited this study include the fact that it was done retrospectively, that we had to rely on what was documented, and that we don't know whether patients adhered to the instructions given to them in PAC. The guideline was also made for patients with controlled diabetes prior to their PAC appointment, which is not the case for all the patients that were included in this study. Further studies should be done to evaluate outcomes due to perioperative hyperglycemia. My contact information is located below on the bottom right corner of this poster. Please don't hesitate to contact me with any questions you may have. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to my presentation today, and enjoy the remainder of the KCHP meeting.